He's a faithful God. Amen.
Let our praise be your welcome. Let our song be a sign, 'cause we are here for you. We are here for you.
Come on, sing.
Almighty God of love.
You are good. our Father that He can take our heart, He can take our soul. Now we surrender our thoughts to Him. Lord, this is the cry of our hearts to You. Let's sing it out. That when when everything around us isn't good, Lord, that you remain good, that you are a good, good Father, always faithful, always steadfast. So, Lord, increase our faith so we remain on the promises that your word says, that you are good. Lord, we love you, and all God's people said amen. Amen. At this time, you can go ahead and say hi to your neighbor, and we'll get into the announcements.
Hi everyone, my name is Belinda and I serve on our HT Youth Team. We're so excited to have you here with us. This summer, June 27th through June 30th, we have Vacation Bible School for children ages 4 to grade 5. To register your kid or sign up to be a volunteer, register or visit us on htchurch.com. We are also hosting Dr. Randy Clark, June 11th and 12th. Registration is open now at htchurch.com. To find more ways to get connected to the life of our church, scan the QR code at the bottom of your program. Linked in our QR code, you can send in prayer requests, join a life group, and fill out a connection card if you're new here. If you're watching us online, make sure you hit that subscribe button. We love you, church, and hope you have the best day ever.
Good morning, everyone. It's great to see you. We're so glad that you've come to worship the Lord with us today. Didn't our worship team do a good job leading us this morning? We want to welcome everybody that's worshiping with us online this morning. We are so glad that the Spirit of God has us connected and thankful for technology that allows us to worship together today. We want to thank you so much for all of your loving financial support of Harvest Time Church. We want to thank you for honoring the Lord with your tithe. Your tithe is the first 10% of what the Lord entrusted to you. And we want to thank you for remembering to give to the work of missions, the spread of the gospel here at home and all around the world. On a monthly basis, Harvest Time Church supports over 60 missionaries and missions organizations. And so your regular giving to missions throughout the year helps us to just keep the gospel going. You know, Solomon wrote, "One gives freely and yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers lack." I like these words. "Whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and the one who waters shall himself be watered." Amen? That's so true. Because of social distancing, we're not going to pass an offering plate through the sanctuary today. We do have offering boxes at all the entrances and exits. And if you did bring an offering to the sanctuary, you can drop it in one of those boxes as you leave today. For those worshiping online with us and for everyone, you can make an offering to Harvest Time Church anytime online at our website, htchurch.com. Just click on the giving link on the top of the homepage, and it'll guide you in making a secure offering online. Well, we have just been so absolutely blessed this weekend by the ministry of our friend Dr. Jeff Bell from Faith Bible College and from Jonathan and Samson and Ken. When Dr. Bell and the team were here just a couple weeks ago, I really felt impressed from the Holy Spirit to have them come back and do some night services when we could just spend time in the presence of the Lord at the altar. And I want to tell you, we just have had an amazing couple of nights together. Had several people receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit on Friday evening. Last night, Dr. Bell preached an amazing word about making room for miracles. And it was just an awesome time. He shared a story about how his younger brother, as a toddler, was in an accident and died, and the Lord brought him back again. It was an amazing, amazing testimony and a great word, and they have a little more for us. I want to tell you, I am so grateful. It is final exam time, and Dr. Bell and these three students have come to spend this weekend with us at the end of the semester when they're taking final exams, when they're finishing papers and getting ready to finish up the semester, and I'm just so grateful. Can you just let them know how much we appreciate them coming and giving this time to us? It's just been an amazing time. When they were here a couple weeks ago, we took a very, very generous offering for the school. We were able to just be a big blessing to the college. This weekend, I'd really like to bless Dr. Bell and these students and just let them know personally how much we love them. So there's an extra offering envelope in your bulletin. And at the end of the service today, we're going to give you an opportunity to just share a gift with them. So I want you to enter in. They're going to lead us. The guys are going to sing for us. Just enter in, worship the Lord, and then Dr. Bell's going to come preach. God bless you, everybody.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved the wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. I was lost in shame, could not pass my blame until he called my name. I'm so glad he changed me. Darkness held me down, but Jesus pulled me out. I'm no longer bound. I'm so glad he changed me. See, I'm now a new creation in Christ. The old is gone, there's new life. I live by faith, not by sight. Story, and he's mine, yes, he's mine. Sin had left me blind, but Jesus opened my eyes. Now I can see the light. I'm so glad he changed me. Now I'm walking free. I've got the victory. See, it's all over me. And I'm so glad he changed me. See, I'm now a new creation in Christ. The old is gone, there's new life. I live by faith, not by sight. There is a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, yes, it's mine. I've met the author of my story. A new name written down in glory, and it's mine, yes, it's mine. I've met the author of my story, and it's mine, yes, it's mine.
This is the part that says, I am who I am, because the I am tells me who I am. I'm a new person in Christ, I'm a child of God, and I'm no longer a slave to fear. Let's proclaim this. Come on, sing it like this.
I am who I am because the I am tells me who I am. I am who I am because the I am tells me who I am. I am who I am because the I am tells me who I am. I am who I am because the I am tells me who I am. I am who I am because the I am tells me who I am. I am who I am because the I am tells me who I am. I am who I am because the I am tells me who I am. I am who I am because the I am tells me who I am. I am who I am because the I am tells me who I am. Through
This next song that we're going to sing, it's a song from our country in the language Hindi. And this song just talks about the name of Jesus. And how many of us know that we would not be here if it was not for the name of Jesus, if it was not for the sacrifice that he made? And the word that we use is Yeshua, which is derived from the Hebrew word, Yeshu. And it's just a song of declaration and proclamation. So let's declare that name in this church as one body and one family.
Tere paas aata hoon Yeshu, tere paas. Tere paas aata hoon Yeshu, tere paas. Har pal meri har saans teri stuti karti rahe. Har din meri har baat teri mahima gaati rahe. Yeshua, Yeshua, Yeshua. Jesus,
mountains tremble. Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, Yeshua, Yeshua, Yeshua.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God, praise God. Good morning, church. I'm glad to be in church today. I was in church this week. I've been to chapel twice in the week. Church Friday night, Saturday night. Here we are on Sunday. I like church. Just something about being together with God's people. I said to someone last night, you know, it's amazing. Some people have to do hard stuff in life, and they have to go and ride the subway or ride the train, go to work, and work hard all day and come home. I get to do this all the time. This is fun. This is really fun. I just thrill with Jesus. Just thrill with Jesus. What a joy it is to serve the Lord. Well, I did you feel a little bit of India come to you today? I was hoping to take you to India. Yeah. I was blessed on Saturday. I got to go to graduation on Saturday in Nigeria. I'm a quick traveler. You can call it Skype, or you can call it Zoom, or you can I'm a quick traveler, quick study. And so I it was great. I got to, in order to preach their graduation, it was 7 o'clock in the morning on Saturday. They started graduation at 6, but I wasn't needed till 7. And I said to the fella who I'm preaching for, do I need an interpreter? He said, no, you don't need an interpreter. I said, great, that's wonderful. I'll preach for about 5 minutes. He said, oh, no, you got to at least do 15. I said, okay, I can do that. And I get just started in the message, and he says, hey, wait, you got an interpreter. I thought, we didn't plan on this, but it was a great interruption, and we had interpreter, okay, and we had a great time. It's amazing what you can do these days, isn't it? It's amazing what you can do on a keyboard. I don't know that you were in any services that Brother Garnett, is that right? Helped me out playing. He's back on the keys today. Thank you, Brother Garnett. They thought I preached all right last night, but I really think you brought me through. Thank you. I appreciate it. Okay, so this morning I just wanted to make a presentation to Pastor if he would come. Yes, the last time we were here, you blessed our socks off. I mean, I've been doing this a long time. 35 years I have been traveling from church to church talking about the college. I was in Canada, Florida. I've been doing this a long time. Nobody had ever blessed us like you did the last time I was here. I tell you, nobody blessed us like that. The first time I was here, you blessed us real good. But I'd had other places bless us real good, but not like this last time. It was something else. And this certificate isn't just because you blessed us last time. We would give this to you if you gave us $5, but we're just glad to partner with you. I noticed I spelled the name wrong here, but I'll get it straightened out. I'll get you another one. This says, this certificate recognizes with deep gratitude the partnership of Harvest Time Church. Thank you for your steadfast support to Faith Bible College International. Your faithfulness enables debt-free Pentecostal professional servant leaders to make a world of difference from day one. Thank you so much, Pastor. I'm not sure what's in this box. I don't think there's a jack in the box, but the Lord bless you. It's not ticking. Good sign. It's not ticking. They packed it up, said, take it with you. I said, I'll be more than glad to take it and pass it out. Thank you so much. We appreciate your pastor so much. Alumnus of the school coming back to preach for us. We're switching pulpits. He's coming back to preach for us the week of our graduation. That's next week, brother, in case you forget when that was happening. Man, it's coming at me so fast I can hardly believe. I appreciate the men coming with me today and being here in the service. Ken took a test last night online, somewhere between 11 and 12. He said it was easy. I'm not sure if he was wide awake when he took it, but he said, the Lord bless him. And we're just glad to be here. If you turn your Bibles today to the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 33. I want to speak for a few moments on the subject, what makes us different. You can turn to your neighbor and tell him, you're different. You're different. Verse 15, the story is Moses is on his way to the promised land with the children of Israel. On the way, God recognizes these people are stiff-necked, they're hard to get along with, and he just says, I'm not going. I'll send you angel. I use Garmin, but I'll send you angel. Get you there. I'll get you a GPS. You'll make it fine, but I'm not going. And so Moses has this discourse with God. Verse 15, and he, that would be Moses, said unto him, that would be God, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he, that would be Moses, said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your faithfulness and your kindness and your tender mercies toward your people. Thank you for grace. Thank you for presence. I pray today that the Holy Spirit would hover over your people. They would sense and know that you're in the house, and that faith would reach out and grab hold of the promises of God this morning that are yea and amen to those that believe. Strengthen the believers, convict the sinner, do your marvelous work in the house today in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. So what makes us different? We are different. You're different. I'm different. Oh, all my digits are different. I flew into Ghana for the first time 10, 11 years ago. And when I got to the little booth where they take your passport, the gentleman behind the booth did this. I thought it was a new sign language. I didn't take sign language in school, but I'd learned a few of the little symbols they use, and I never saw this one before. So I went, and when I dropped my fingers down, I realized what happened. A light flashed underneath my fingers, and they were taking pictures of all my digits. And I realized right then and there, if these digits, these prints show up any place they're not supposed to be, they've got me. They know everything about me. They just took the passport when they swiped it. They know everything about me. I realize that we're all different. The iris in my eyes different from yours. We're all made a little different. But I've learned in traveling, people are people everywhere. People are people. They got the same concerns, the same desires, same interests. They're interested in their family, their kids. They're wondering about the education. They're concerned about health. Lots of things we have in common, just the human race. We share a lot of the common needs and desires of life. In God's economy, there seems to be only two classes of people. We spend a lot of time in our world today trying to figure out what race, what background you are, where you come from, what your ancestry is. But in God's economy, there's really only two classes of people. You see, you're either in the family or you're not in the family. It's as simple as that. It started with Abraham. All his descendants became known as the people of faith. They followed the principles of God. And if you weren't born in the family, yet just not in the family. There were those that tried to proselyte a few in, but really you had to be in the family or you're not in the family. My wife's Italian through and through. How many Italians do I have here this morning? Okay, I'll be real careful. maybe as careful as I was in the last meeting. And what I learned is, you know, both her grandparents came over on the boat and started life in New York and then down in Philly. And she was brought up in about 17 miles out of Philly. What I learned and a short lesson was I went down to see Pop-Pop to be my father-in-law. And I said to Mr. De Bonaventura, that woman ought to thank me for just giving her a shorter name to work with like Belle. De Bonaventura, Mr. De Bonaventura, I love your daughter. I want to marry her. And he said, we need to talk. And I really thought that's what we were doing, having a talk. We were walking down a little lane in the woods in South Jersey, and we went back to the house and sat on the bed, and Faith and I, and he sat in a chair, and he said, I just don't feel good about it. That's it. Just don't feel good about it. So we ended up breaking up because I was going to get married. I thought it was going to be her. I wanted it to be her. Went back to school, and about a year and a half, maybe or two, we weren't together, and she wasn't seeing anybody, and I wasn't seeing anybody, and she walked by me one day. She says, you know, I still love you. I looked at her and said, don't tell me. Tell your father. What can I do for you? I can't do anything. Because I knew for sure if I marry this girl, she's going to want to go home and see her family. And I didn't want to be the disappointment coming through the door every Christmas and every Thanksgiving. That wasn't my life. I wasn't going to do that. And so she went home and had a chat with Dad. And I went down and said again, Mr. De Bonaventura, I'd like to have your daughter's hand in marriage. And he said to me, any man come back the second time and ask me is well worthy of my daughter, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm not only going to, you guys want to get married in Maine, I'm sure. I'll bring the family all the way to Maine. I'm going to pay for the wedding. I'm going to pay for the dress. I'm going to pay for the reception. And he just went down this long list of stuff he was going to do. I tell you what, it was a little bit of a chore to get in that family. It took me a little while. I still sat at the table sometimes as a little bit of an outsider. And I say sometimes when I'm going there, I'm going to visit the in-laws and the outlaws, and I'm still not sure who's who. All right, that was a little rough. I'm sorry. But what I learned about the kingdom of God, it's not hard to get in the family. Moses said, we're going to need a little grace here. We don't deserve your presence. There's nothing we've done that commends you or commands you or compels you to want to do anything for us. We've been stiff-necked. We've been rebellious. But we're going to need a little grace right now. I tell you what, there's nothing you can do to get in the family of God. You're not good enough. You're not rich enough. You're not talented enough. You can't do enough to get in the family of God. But if you'll admit to God today and just say, I need a little grace today. I want to be part of your family. If the grace of God can work in a sinner like me, he can work in your heart, transform your life, and give you reason to go on. Thank God for the grace that comes from God. Grace that's greater than all my sin. Give me grace, grace, God's grace. Oh, the marvelous grace of God. You see, what you need to understand about grace is grace will pick you up. Grace will make you part of the family. Grace lifts you up. The old preacher came by my church. I don't know if you've ever heard Brother Kirkham. Brother Kirkham out of Fredericton, gone on to his reward. Brother Kirkham came by to preach, and I'll never forget that morning he preached from Psalm 40. And his points were, he brought me up, he set me up, and he tuned me up. I can testify he brought me up. I can testify he set me up. The tuning part he's still working on. I'm like the other old preacher I used to love to listen to who said, I was cut out to be a singer. I just sewed up wrong. I just had a little problem there. It didn't come out right. I just sewed up wrong. But grace comes to those that humble themselves. Grace picks us up. Aren't you glad he didn't leave you where he found you? Aren't you glad he didn't say struggle and try to make it on your own? But his grace comes. You see, he sets you up for the favor of God to shine on your life. When you accept the Son, John 1 tells us in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were created by Him, and without Him was not anything made. But He went on to say, when we saw Christ, when we got a glimpse of Christ, when we saw Him, we saw the grace that came down from heaven. When John talks about this in that chapter, he said, when we beheld Him, I know it means to look upon, but I like the word held in the middle of beheld. It's like when we saw the grace of God had come down. We took hold on Him like we're never letting go, like a dog on a bull, like a dog on a bone. We're just going to get a hold of Him, and we're hanging on for all we're worth because we don't deserve it. But grace, grace, God's grace brings the favor of God. I'm accepted in the beloved. I belong. I'm part of the family of God because of grace. Grace set me up for God's favor in my life. Don't misunderstand favor. Favor doesn't mean you ought to go buy lottery tickets and you're favored. It doesn't mean you need to waste your energy trying to wave at all the people. Grace. Mary. Remember Mary? Thou art highly favored. Didn't mean life was going to go easy. Didn't mean everything was going to go her way. But the angel said the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. And you're going to conceive. You're going to have a baby. Call His name Jesus. The planet's been waiting for over 4,000 years. It's time. I want to use you. Mary said, I've never known a man. I don't know how this would work. I can't conceive. I can't understand with my mind. I can't picture how this is going to work. But she was smart enough to say, be it unto me according to your word. I feel like telling somebody this morning, God's got some good things coming your way that you can't conceive, you can't understand it, you can't put it together right now, but if you'll just say to God, be it unto me. I don't know how you put that together, God. You don't know where I came from. You don't know what I got going on in my world. God says, I know all about it. Just trust me. Just say, be it unto me according to thy word. Let your word come to pass in my life. Hallelujah. Let your word come true in me. The word was, you're going to conceive. She has a baby, calls His name Jesus. I'm here to declare to you, of the 7.5 billion people pressing toward 8 billion people on the planet, God chose you. You have not chosen me. He said, I chose you. I've called you. Of you got any idea at all? 7.5 billion people on the planet. And God tapped you on the shoulder. Said, I want you. You're favored. I'm picking you. I choose you. I don't know if you've ever been in those lineups when you're picking on teams. And I was always the big guy. I was only the guy on the end. And they'd go down, we're playing basketball. I take you. And the other guy says, I take you. And I take you. And you did that little thing. And I'm still standing there. And sometimes they say, no, you can have him. You can have him. Go ahead. But God somehow said, I want you. Pulled me out of the backwoods of Maine. Some people said, you never go anywhere. You'll never preach the gospel. You couldn't preach in the city. You're just a backward boy from the country. I'm telling you, when God says, I want you, He'll equip you. He'll enable you. He'll raise you up. He'll bring you in. He'll take you where you need to go. He'll cause your life to be blessed. He'll cause your life to be prosperous. He'll make you into a man or a woman of God. Aren't you glad about that today? Whew. I'm highly favored. I'm favored of the Lord. But grace wasn't really what Moses wanted. You remember what he wanted was presence. I want you to go with us. We don't deserve it, and we're going to need unmerited favor. But what it really wanted, the presence. We got to have presence. You see, with the land they were going into, all those peoples had gods. They had gods. Little g, but they had gods. They worshipped idols of stone and wood, metals. They would worship. They would offer their children in sacrifice to these gods. I mean, it's unbelievable what people would do. And Moses says, if we go in without you, we look like everybody else. We got two eyes and a nose and a mouth. We look like everybody else. What makes us different is we believe in the living God. We believe in the presence of God. We believe you walk with us and you talk with us. We believe in the presence, the presence. I'm here to declare to you this morning, I believe this church is a Pentecostal church, and we believe in presence. We didn't come here to go through a form and a fashion this morning. We came here to worship the living God. We didn't bring in idols of stone and silver. We came to lift holy hands unto the Lord our God and tell him we love him and worship him. We've come to this place to give him the glory due unto his name. You remember Samson in the Old Testament. He was a man declared he was going to be a strong deliverer for Israel. And in the process of time, he got messed up with a lady from the Philistine territory. He burned down the crops and ran home to sulk. An army of 1,000 men comes to get him. 1,000 men, may I remind you, they're dressed for war. It's an army. They're not coming with slingshots. They're dressed for war. And they get a hold of Samson. And Samson bends over to pick up a jawbone of a donkey, and he went to work. If he'd have killed the first 10 men coming, he's a good man. If he killed the first 100, he's a hero. But he killed 1,000 men all by himself. Oh, wait a minute, preacher. I read that story. He wasn't by himself. The Spirit of the Lord had come upon him. When the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, it changed him. It did something to him. That wasn't just Samson. That was the power of God leashed in a body. And God began to destroy the adversaries of Israel. I came to declare to you, God's plan is that you would be the temple of the Holy Spirit and God would dwell in you. Not so you could live an ordinary life and carry on like everybody else. No. God has favored you and put his presence in your life to make life not ordinary but extraordinary. Not so you could just be calm and unnatural, but you'd live a supernatural existence where you depend on the Lord your God and you see his mighty hand come through again and again and again, I tell you. Remember, the tabernacle had some furnishings that were made holy by the tabernacle. There was a time a group of folk decided they could do what Moses and Aaron were doing. And so God said, tell them to get a censer and bring it into my presence. When God had determined and showed them who he had called, he told Moses, that which has come into my holy presence cannot be taken out and used for common anymore. It's dedicated. It's holy now. And I tell you this morning, once you've tasted and seen that the Lord is good, once you've known of the presence of God in your life, you can't go back. You just can't go back. It's designed like this. You just can't go. Are you saying we can't backslide, preacher? I'm telling you, you were designed for something better. When you try to take the holy and make it common, you're never going to be comfortable doing the common. You're not going to, no. Going back, you're not going to be satisfied in that world. And then you come back to church, and you're not comfortable in church. It's not until you get that which's holy back to a holy God. I'm telling you, God's designing. Desire is that you would live a holy life in his presence and you would know, you would taste and see that the Lord is good and you would enjoy his presence in your life. It's meant that you and he would walk together. Oh, my. You remember Adam in the Bible. Adam walked with God in the cool of the day. Sin entered the world and he was cast out of the garden. But I can almost hear Adam talking to his son. You know, I've done a lot of things in life. I've named the animals. I've done a lot of fishing, got some big ones. Done my share of hunting and shot some big ones. But of all the things I've done, there was nothing like walking with God in the cool of the day. I can't give you anything to compare to walking with God in the garden. He passed the story on to Seth. Seth passes it on to his boys. And down the line it goes. Until somewhere down there about number 8, there's a guy said, I heard this story about great-great-great-great-grandpa. How he'd tell the story. There was nothing quite like walking with God. Why can't I walk with God? Why can't I experience what Adam experienced? And the Bible says that Enoch walked with God. God raised up some people in this house that have determined, I'm just going to walk with God. I'm just going to live for God. I'm going to let His light shine through me. I'm going to let the power of God be evident in my life. I'm telling you, there's nothing greater than walking every day with the King. It's all about presence. I want His presence. I got to have His presence. Life is dull without His presence. Life's too ordinary without His presence. I must have the presence of God. Let me hurry. Set up by grace, set apart by presence, but set forth by the glory of God. He says, show me your glory. I want to see your glory. I wonder what he was looking for. What do you want to see? What are you looking for? You saw the bush burning. You saw the plagues come down on Egypt. What are you looking for? You saw the Red Sea open. You saw God do stuff nobody else ever saw. You saw manna come out of heaven and feed the crowd. You watched as God would provide water out of a rock. What do you want to see? He said, show me your glory. Show me your glory. I believe there's something powerful. You'll notice it in the temple that was created, the tabernacle in the Old Testament. When they dedicated the temple, the glory of God came down over that temple. When they dedicated the temple in Solomon's day, the glory of God came down so thick in the crowd that they couldn't do their work as ministers. I'm telling you, when the temple is dedicated, God says, I'll fill it with my glory. Know ye not that ye are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and He resides with us. And when we dedicate ourselves to His purposes and goals and ideas, I'm telling you that He comes and fills the temple with His glory. In the Old Testament, a man would know when the glory began to lift. We're going somewhere. We're moving. Tell his son, run by the tent, pull the tent pegs, and tell mom, pack the suitcase. We're out of here. I saw the glory begin to move. And when the glory moves, we're going somewhere. I'm telling you, you can start programs, and I'm not against programs. But I've never seen a man-made program yet bring in the presence of God. You're going to need some. Thank God for the children's workers. And thank God for the people that deal with the older people. Thank God for the folks that are working with the other ministries of the church. But I'm telling you, a program, just because you start a program, doesn't bring in the power of God. What will bring in the power of God is when the temple gets dedicated. All that matters is His glory, and His glory be evident in the house. I believe this morning, I've been in this house long enough to know there are people here that cry out for the glory of God. I pray the glory of God come and begin to propel you forward and give you a great harvest at this church. We call harvest time. Let the harvest come in Jesus' name. Gotta quit. Don't want to, but I got to quit. I feel that way most times I preach. I got to quit. My wife's not watching this time because she's in church. She's been watching this week. Every once in a while, she'll tell me, you know, you're a bit long. You get long-winded. I've heard it enough that I don't even have to have her in the house. I can hear it in the back of my head. I just get filled up with talking about Jesus and what he wants to do. Come, Brother Ken, give me some music. Try to get me wound down. The glory. The glory. Oh, God, may we cry out for the glory. I don't know. I believe he was saying, yesterday's blessing's not enough. I've met with you before, and it was marvelous. But what I need is a fresh touch. What I need is a fresh encounter. I need a fresh move in my life. Or might it be there's another generation that's crossed, been born after they crossed over the Red Sea? Might there be another generation raised up? They didn't hear. And they didn't see the miracles of the plagues. Didn't know of the, other than hearing a story, they didn't know. They didn't see the crossing of the great Red Sea. Maybe we've become complacent with just seeing bread and water. We get a little complacent. But he begins to cry out, show us your glory. Show us your glory. I was riding down the car a few years ago now. Gentleman in the front seat out of New Jersey. We're talking about life, just talking about stuff. We started to talk about the moon landing. And he laughed. He said, just a story. I said, no, you don't understand. I lived through that. I remember we didn't have a television at our house, but I got to go to my aunt's house and watch this happening. Could we got them out there. Could we get them home? I mean, it's like we were living in suspense for a few days. Could we do this? And he laughed. He said, it's a movie. I said, I'm not talking about Apollo 13, the movie. I'm talking about the real landing. I'm talking about planting a flag out there. He laughed. He said, it's a man-made story. I said, I thought you'd be an intelligent sort of guy. Got my doubts. And then something occurred to me. Might it be? Now, he can go to heaven without ever believing in a moon landing. His eternal destiny is not dependent on whether or not he believes in the moon landing. But might it be there are kids that are hearing stories, but they're not seeing the power? Might it be they sit in a children's church and hear about Samson, hear the story of patriarchs of old like Daniel in the lion's den. But when they went home this afternoon to get him to lay down for a nap, somebody read The Lion King. Might it be that they heard the story of Jonah and the big fish, but when they got home, they heard another story about Finding Nemo. I'm not against storybooks. No. But I'm afraid for a generation who thinks we're just occupying their time by telling them stories. I'm nervous about a generation who thinks they're out there just hearing stories so you can have church in here. I'm nervous about this thing. I used to tell my children's workers, you get the gospel to those kids. These people heard it forever and ever. I'm just babysitting them while you get the gospel to those kids. Not many people appreciated my idea. But I'm telling you, we need more than another story. We need a visitation of the power of God. What'll cause the church to move forward? What'll transform your family? What'll capture the hearts of your children and your grandchildren? It's not going to be another story, but when they see the hand of the living God show up in their world and they know that wasn't mom or dad, it wasn't grandma, that was the power of God that intervened in our affairs. That's when the thing begins to move.
That's when you start passing it to the next generation. Would you stand together with me all over the house if you would? I've sensed the glory of God in this place. The last few nights I have sensed the glory of God. That's important. Really important. A wise man once told me, when the church fills up from the back to the front, they're in trouble. But when they fill up from the front to the back, they're in revival. The last couple of nights I've come here, I watch them fill up from the front. People are hungry. People are hungry. I'm telling you, God's about to do something in this place. I don't know if you've ever been stuck in the snow. I know you get enough snow to have a pretty bad storm once in a while. When we try to push a car out of the snow, sometimes you have to rock it a little bit till you get a little momentum going. When you get the momentum going, that's not the time to stop. And just because it gets out of the little rut, it's not the time to stop. You keep pushing that thing until that car's completely out of the snow and on solid ground. You just keep pushing. You just keep. I'm talking to somebody. Something's begun in the spirit world in the last couple of nights. Something happening here this morning. It's not time to slack back and go back to usual. It's time to put your shoulder to the wheel and say, let's push. Let's push. Harvest time is here. It's time to push. Show us your glory. I might have told you. Can't remember, I've been preaching here enough now. But back where I came from, our whole economy rested on the harvest. It was the potato harvest. If we missed the window of opportunity, the whole county would suffer. So when harvest time came, it was just a little window. Snow is going to fly, ground's going to freeze. We got to get them out of the ground. We shut down school. We shut down some businesses. And everybody went to the harvest. I'm telling you, the night's coming when no man can work. If you got your shoulder to the wheel and this thing's starting to go, you got to push now. You got to push now. The trumpet's about to sound. The dead in Christ are going to rise. We that are alive and yet remain are going to be caught up in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. And now's the time to push. Now's the time to get at it. Lord, I pray right now for this congregation. I sense the Holy Ghost. I sense you working in the hearts of people. I believe that right now in this holy place, a holy God going to give us a visitation. Breathe on us now. Breathe on us your holy power, your Holy Spirit. Stir up your people this morning. Let a fire kindle in their bones afresh and anew. Let the working of the Spirit take place this morning. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Is there anybody here this morning? You're not saved. You've never received the grace of God. It would be the highlight of my weekend to lead you to Jesus. It would be the thrill of my life to lead you to Christ. I've led a number of people to the Lord. I don't know, maybe hundreds. But I'd love to pray with you. You'd say you want to receive that grace this morning that only comes from the hand of God. Would you just slip up your hand? God's grace is sufficient for you. God bless you. God bless you. I need to be saved. I need Jesus in my heart. Just slip up your hand. I want to pray for you this morning. I want to believe God together with you. God bless you, sir. God bless you. Someone else, I want to receive Christ this morning. I need Jesus in my life. I need the power of God to rescue me from where I'm at. How many say, preacher, I need more of the presence of God in my life. Pray I have a holy overflow in my life this morning. Somebody else says we need God's glory to be revealed. My kids need help. My children are away from God. I just feel that. Your children. I'm praying for children. I'm praying for families. The revival starts at your home first. At your home first. You can't export what you don't have. Needs to be a disciples told, start in Jerusalem. Start here at home. Then you export it out. I'm going to pray. If you raise your hand to receive Christ, would you give me the opportunity to pray with you and come? Meet me here at this altar. I invite you to come. As these folks get ready to sing, I'm going to invite you to come. Lord, you saw hands raised in this house. They're asking more of your glory to come and fill their lives. I'm feeling burdened for families. Families, sons and daughters that are away from you. I pray right now the power of God. Rescue those children. Rescue those grandchildren. Let this not just be another story that grandma tells. Let it not be just another story mom reads to me from the Bible. Let reality come to these young people. Give them an experience in the presence of God. Breathe on this church. I just want to give them a little push, Lord. I believe they're on the verge of something powerful, something wonderful, and I just want to encourage and give them a little push further in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you worship the Lord for a minute? I'm inviting those four or five people to raise their hand. If you come, meet me right now. Go ahead and sing. Worship the Lord for a moment.
Your presence.
Yes, your presence.
Is
hallelujah.
To me.
Would you let me pray with you today? Sir, would you let me pray with you? Sir, would you let me pray with you? Ma'am? I'd love to pray with you.
To me.
Sing it, sing it. Tell him his presence means everything.
Your presence is heaven to me.
Oh,
God, your presence is heaven to me.
Thank you, Jesus. Come on, would you just lift up your faces to the Lord? Thank you, Lord. Lift up your faces, lift up your hands to the Lord. There's three things that I pray every day from this prayer of Moses in Exodus 33. I pray it over my life, pray it over my family, I pray it over you. I pray it over Harvest Time Church. And I'm wondering, just to finish today, if you'd pray these three things with me. The first thing that I pray every day, it's Moses' prayer. First prayer thing is this: God, consider that we are your people. Come on, would you just pray that with me right now? God, consider that we are your people. Come on, make it personal. God, consider that I'm your person. I'm your man. I'm your woman. Lord, don't go looking anywhere else for another people. Lord, consider that we are ready, willing, and able, Lord, to be your instruments. Lord, work through us. Lord, it's not just enough to receive blessings. We want to be a blessing. Second thing I pray from the prayer of Moses is, Lord, teach me your ways. Would you pray that with me? Lord, teach me your ways. Show us heaven's strategies that bring heaven's results. Moses, the children of Israel saw God's miracles, but Moses understood God's ways. Lord, we don't want to just be witnesses to miracles. We want to be workers of miracles in this hour. And the final thing that I pray every day from Moses' prayer, now, God, show us your glory. Come on, would you pray that with me? Now, God. Now, God. Now, God. Now, God. Show us your glory. Father, thank you for this team that's come and spent this weekend with us as they have watered us. I pray that you'd water them. Bless Lord Samson and Jonathan and Ken in their final weeks of school, Lord, in their final exams and papers, and Dr. Bell teaching and grading, Lord. I just pray that you'd give them extra strength, Lord, for the blessing they've brought to us. We pray that you'd bless them abundantly. God, go with your people. Lord, I pray that you'd be with us. Let everything we touch this week prosper. And Lord, use us to be a blessing. If your heart agrees with that, would you say amen and amen? God bless you, everyone. Have a great week. Listen, listen. I cause, God is not the author of confusion, but Pastor Glenn is. So we want to receive an offering at the end. And just write on there, Dr. Bell or Faith Bible College, just so we know. And there's offering boxes at all the entrances and exits. And if you want to leave a blessing, just mark it, Dr. Bell or Faith Bible College, so that we can get it to the right place. God bless you, everybody. Have a great week. Lord be with you.